Hello, Catholic Telegraph listeners. This is Marianne New. Happy to be with you once again. And today is Friday for me, and it is the Feast of the Visitation of Our Lady to Elizabeth. And I thought I'd start out just by reading this preface before the Mass of today, when Mary goes to visit her cousin. Mary's first instinct after the Annunciation was to attend to her older cousin Elizabeth. But what makes a visitation different from a simple visit? A visitation carries with it a special meaning, a purpose of bestowing something exceptional. In the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that meaning is not a message, but rather the exceptional presence of the Son, the Savior, she carries within her womb. We can be certain that the mystery of the visitation is effective in our lives too, for Mary continues to take the initiative to come to us, to introduce us to her Son. May we all grow closer to Jesus. So on Sunday, we're going to be celebrating the Feast of the Ascension, when Jesus goes back to heaven with the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. So these few paragraphs were written by Saint Cyril of Alexandria in the year 444. The Savior promises the disciples the descent of the Holy Spirit, which God had announced of old by Joel, and power from above, that they might be strong and invincible, and without all fear, preach to men everywhere the divine mystery. Having blessed them, he was carried up into heaven, that he might share the Father's throne, even with the flesh that was united unto him. And this new pathway the Word made for us when he appeared in human form. And hereafter, in due time, he will come again in the glory of his Father with the angels, and will take us up to be with him. Let us glorify, therefore, him who, being God, the Word, became man for our sakes, who suffered willingly in the flesh, and arose from the dead, and abolished corruption, who was taken up, and hereafter shall come with great glory to judge the living and the dead, and to give up to every one according to his deeds, by whom and with whom to God the Father be glory and power with the Spirit unto ages of ages. Amen. So getting back to our time and our space here, we are looking forward to parish festivals, and next weekend, there are 9 of them scheduled. Guardian Angels in Mount Washington starts Friday, June 7th. Holy Rosary, St. Mary's, Friday, June 7th. That's in St. Mary's, Ohio. St. Antoninus in Western Hills starts Friday, June 7th. St. Gertrude's Fun Fest in Madeira starts Thursday, June 6th. St. John the Evangelist in Deer Park, Friday, June 7th. St. Michael the Archangel in Sharonville, also on Friday, June 7th. St. Christopher in Vandalia. St. Helens in Riverside, in Dayton. St. Maximilian Kolbe in Liberty Township, Friday, June 7th. So that brings us up to date on the coming festivals. And now we have a local event. And from the Catholic Telegraph, the article reads, "Thousands gather to celebrate the joy of human life." Thousands of people from both sides of the Ohio River will come together for a family festival and a walk across the Purple People Bridge to celebrate the beautiful gift of human life at all its stages, regardless of age, ability, or disability. The 14th annual Cross the Bridge for Life will take place this coming Sunday, June 2nd, in Newport, Kentucky. The Most Reverend Roger Foys, Bishop of the Diocese of Covington, Very Reverend Anthony Brausch, Rector of the Athenaeum of Ohio, our seminary, and Jake Freitcher, a pastor of development at Seven Hills Church, Florence, will all take part in the festival and the walk. The family festival will begin at 1 at Riverboat Row in Newport. The event is being held, rain or shine. Any changes to the schedule will be posted the day of the event. Its Facebook site is facebook.com/CTB for life. The festival will include live bands, free face painting and balloon artists, free water, refreshments and t-shirts while they last will be available. Food trucks will also be on site. At 2 p.m., a 20-minute program is planned. The MC for the event is Anna Mitchell of Sacred Heart Radio. The guest speaker is Carson Rahill, treasurer of Xavier University Students for Life. Afterwards, bagpipers from the Ancient Order of Hibernians will lead walkers across the Purple People Bridge, along with the American Heritage Girls Color Guard. The event is organized by more than 20 area pro-life organizations that work to raise awareness of the value of human life. More information about the event and the coalition of sponsors is at crossthebridgeforlife.com. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Covington and the Archdiocese of Cincinnati are proud sponsors of Cross the Bridge for Life. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Covington is comprised of more than 90,000 Catholics, with 47 parishes and 38 Catholic primary and secondary schools. Within the diocese, more than 14,500 students are under Catholic instruction. The Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Cincinnati is the 44th largest Catholic diocese in the country, with more than 450,000 Catholics, and has the 5th largest Catholic social system in terms of enrollment, with more than 40,000 students. The 19-county territory includes 211 parishes and 112 Catholic primary and secondary schools. So that's an event that's looked forward to every single year. I hope they have good weather. Now we're in touch with our Pope Francis, who is heading to Romania to remember a legacy of martyrs. Pope Francis said he hopes his visit to Romania will strengthen the bonds of faith that unite Orthodox and Catholics in the country. The ties between the two churches date back to the apostles Peter and Andrew, who were blood brothers and shed their blood for the Lord, like the 7 bishop martyrs of the Eastern Rite Romanian Catholic Church, who died during a fierce anti-religious campaign waged under the communist regime in Romania. What they have suffered for, even to the point of offering their lives, is too precious a legacy to be forgotten, the Pope said in a May 28th video message to the people of Romania. And it is a common inheritance which calls us not to distance ourselves from the brother or sister who shares it. The Pope was to visit Romania May 31st through June 2nd and beatify the martyred bishops. Almost 82% of the country's 20 million inhabitants say they belong to the Orthodox Church, while over 4% identify as Catholic, belonging either to the Romanian Catholic Church, an Eastern Rite, or the Latin Rite. Pope Francis said he would visit the country, quote, as a pilgrim and as a brother, and that he looked forward to meeting the Patriarch and the Permanent Synod of the Romanian Orthodox Church, as well as the pastors and Catholic faithful. I come among you to walk together, the Pope said. We walk together when we learn to keep our roots and our family, when we take care of the future of our children and the brother or sister next to us, when we go beyond fears and suspicions, when we let go of the barriers that separate us from others. The dates of the trip, Pope Francis's fifth in 2019, coincide with the 20th anniversary of St. John Paul II's visit to that country. Alessandro Gessotti, interim Vatican spokesman, told journalists on May 29th that Pope Francis' visit will be a continuation of St. John Paul's historic visit in 1999, the first by a reigning pontiff to a predominantly Orthodox country since the Greek Schism of 1054. However, unlike his predecessor, who remained in Bucharest, the Pope said, I want to visit all the areas of the country, all that I can, that represent the ethnic, cultural, and religious wealth of Romania. This is what is in the Pope's heart, as we have seen earlier in the words he spoke in his video message. So we pray that Pope Francis' visit that's taking place right now may be very, very successful. Now we'll move on to another article. One that I won't read completely, but simply says that the Knights of Columbus are changing their uniform and that they will no longer have the plumes that we're so used to seeing. So the uniform will be a little more sleek. We'll be happy to see that. And the change takes place after 79 years of the other that we're so familiar with. This brings us close to home. The article entitled Catholic Charities Weighing Response to Violent Midwest Storms and Flooding. Bishop Sean McKnight of Jefferson City, Missouri, expressed gratitude that lives were spared and that all residents of the Missouri Capitol are accounted for following a devastating tornado. He said in a May 23rd statement that the staff of Catholic Charities of Central and Northern Missouri were assessing the needs of residents. Some people were forced from their homes as the storm swept through the city of 43,000 just before midnight on May 22nd. Diocesan offices on the west side of Jefferson City and Catholic parishes around the town were unaffected by the storm. Please continue to pray with us for those who have suffered from this natural disaster and also for those who are coming to their assistance, Bishop McKnight said. The most severe damage occurred in a 3-square-mile area south and east of the central part of the Missouri Capitol, Jefferson City. Police Lieutenant David Williams told reporters. About 40 to 45 people were being housed the afternoon of May 23rd in a school on the west side of the city. And we know that here, closer to home, up in Dayton, there has been damage done to some of those churches too. And one in particular where the Blessed Mother's statue remained unharmed outside of the church. Now, I'm trying to find another article on my my pad here, iPad. Here's another one from the Pope, talking to his ambassadors. Nations, like individuals, have a solemn duty to care for the poor and to work together to promote development. Pope Francis told a group of ambassadors beginning their service at the Vatican, "International cooperation for development and for peacemaking tap into a common universal desire to experience real fraternity," the Pope told the new ambassadors from Thailand, Norway, New Zealand, Sierra Leone, New Guinea, Luxembourg, Mozambique, and Ethiopia. The 9 ambassadors who presented their letters of credential to Pope Francis, May 23rd, do not reside in Rome, but serve as their country's representative to the Vatican while simultaneously holding other posts, mostly as ambassadors to other European nations. "As we face increasingly complex global challenges," the Pope told them, "it is right to underline the importance of fraternity, for striving together to ensure just and peaceful coexistence is not merely a socio-political strategy, but is an example of that solidarity which runs deeper than a mutual desire to achieve a shared goal. The pressing need to be attentive to the poorest of our fellow citizens is a solemn duty," Pope Francis said. "And it is eloquently expressed when, respectful of legitimate diversity, we are united in promoting their integral human development. While violence and armed conflict continue to sow death in multiple areas of the world," he said, "peace always is possible. Conflict resolution and reconciliation are positive signs of the unity that is stronger than division and of the fraternity that is more powerful than hatred," Pope Francis said. And can we not agree with him? This next article is about a fireman in New York. He was off duty when the 9/11 towers were hit by the planes. He was awarded posthumously a Christopher Leadership Award. Frank Siller, chairman and CEO of the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation, is the 2019 recipient of the Christopher Leadership Award. He is being recognized by the Christophers, quote, "for the invaluable and he brings to catastrophically injured veterans, first responders, and Gold Star families. Through the charity he co-founded with his 5 siblings in honor of their late brother Stephen, a New York City firefighter who was killed in 9/11. So the award is being given to the firefighter's brother. The honor for Frank Siller, announced in early May, is being presented May 23rd, along with Christopher Awards for winning film productions, broadcast TV and cable programs, and books for adults and children. It is the 70th anniversary of the organization's awards program. The Christopher Leadership Award recognizes individuals, quote, "whose work, actions, and example serve as a guiding light to others." On September 11th, 2001, firefighter Stephen Siller got the call that a plane had hit the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Stationed in Brooklyn, he drove the truck to the Battery Tunnel to get into Manhattan, but found the tunnel shut down for security reasons. So after strapping 60 pounds of gear onto his back, he ran through the tunnel to join rescue efforts at the World Trade Center. The husband and father of five was killed when the center's twin towers collapsed. His six siblings wanted not only to keep his memory alive, but to do it in a way that would help others, according to the Christophers. A year after the terrorist attacks, they created the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation, which began as a New York City-based charity that retraced Stephen's steps on 9/11. But with Frank Siller as chairman and CEO, the organization has grown into a national force for good, for many groups in need. It builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured members of the military who have lost arms and legs, pays off mortgages for families of first responders who have been killed in the line of duty, and pays off mortgages for Gold Star families whose loved ones made the ultimate sacrifice in service to their country. The foundation, which also supports a variety of community programs around the country, has raised over $125 million since it was started. Of every dollar raised, 95 cents goes to the programs. My parents had seven kids, Frank Siller told the Christophers. We were very poor, but we were never too poor to do something good for our neighbors. He said his parents often quoted the words of St. Francis of Assisi, "While we have time, let us do good." Frank and his siblings adopted those words as the foundation's motto. The Christophers noted that the Siller brothers and sisters were especially close to Stephen because he was only 10 when their parents died, so they each had a hand in raising him. Frank Siller said the losses that he has experienced in his life allow him to relate to the people whom the Tunnel to Towers Foundation helps. "I understand exactly each point they're at because I lived it," he said. "After 9/11, so many people were there for our family. It lifts you to know you're not alone and that people care and are praying for you. This is the message that we send to all these great families. We don't want to just pay off the mortgage or build them a mortgage-free home, a smart home. We want to be part of their lives," he continued. "They join us on our mission, and they are our greatest ambassadors because they received it and they want to pay it forward to the next person." The more these recipients, quote, "do for somebody else, the better they're going to feel," he added. "And they do. It does lift you. It does heal you. And it does give you a great purpose that's bigger than yourself." Previous winners of the Christopher Leadership Award include Captain Scotty Smiley, the U.S. Army's first blind active duty officer, and Patty Ann McDonald, widow of heroic Detective Stephen McDonald of the New York Police Department. Her husband was shot July 12, 1986, while on duty, leaving him a quadriplegic. In the years before his death in 2017, he became an inspiration to many and may best be known for forgiving the teen who shot him. The Christophers, founded in 1945 by Mary Knoll father James Keller, is rooted in the Judeo-Christian tradition of service to God and humanity, using the ancient Chinese proverb, quote, "It's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness," to guide its publishing, radio, and awards program. That's all for today. God bless each and every one of you. Keep you safe. This is Mary Ann New, St. Margaret of York. Happy to be with you.